And right now, we are going to dive into a beautiful conversation with Petty, Joni Petty, right? Did I get that right?
That's it. You got it right.
Wow, I'm so excited to be speaking to you. And, you know, just picking up from last week where Khosi and you are just diving into resilience. And I on the interview last week, I picked up four pillars. And you guys were speaking about mental resilience, physical resilience, emotional resilience, and also spiritual resilience, which was my favorite.
Wow.
Because, yeah, this is my favorite because I'm a guy that loves everything that has to do with the Holy Spirit. So welcome to the draft, 3-6.
Jay Ross, you get 10 out of 10 for listening well, that's for sure.
Thank you so much. So, I mean, just diving straight at it, I mean, picking up from last week. So tell us, why is it so important to start building resilience in the children from a young age, Joni?
Because life is tough. So, you know, the thing I like to say with resilience for children, and certainly, Jay Ross, for my children, is how do you prepare your child for the road versus preparing the road for the child? And I pause deliberately there because, you know, life has got its... I always say to my children, you know, you walk up some steep hills, you get to the top, you... thinking you'll get an aerial view, and then God says, you know, you've got to walk down and there's some potholes and things. So you can never make the road smooth for your child. You really need to give your child a nice little... I always say to my children, I don't have any money to leave them, but I do have an imaginary resilience toolbox.
Wow.
Because I want to prepare them for the road ahead, is so that they have to walk their own journey called life. And you've got to prepare. So it's really when we start having these conversations at a very young age, we start teaching our children about choice, about unintended consequences of making choices. I mean, when my little girls, they're now 25 and 27, Jay Ross, but when they were like 3 and 5, I used to say to them, you know, do you want a bath upstairs in mommy's bath, or do you want a bath over there? You know, or do you want a bath in a bucket in the garden?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's helping them make choices, because we've all got to pause and make good choices in life.
Wow. Wow. That is so, so profound. And I mean, Joni, in a world that often shields our children from discomfort, how can we teach them to endure hardship and also to recover from it?
Yeah, so those are two very good points. Hardship and recovering from hardship is that role model it. You know, I used to say to my girls at the dining room table, I think that's, you know, that, you know, we pray, you eat, you commune, there's no mobiles, please. But I used to say to them, look, you know, I've had a bad day today, and I, you know, I did something that I regret, or I said something that I regret, or, you know, this happened. So prepare them for hardship. In terms of role modeling, that life is not easy. Because the minute, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it, Jay Ross, the minute someone's done okay at school and then they want to go and do tertiary education, they suddenly find it's jolly hard. It's because school was made easy for them. So we've got to prepare kids that actually life is never easy, and also have given them the mindset that when do we learn the most? So we learn the most when we're going through struggles. And you're never alone. If you're spiritual, you're never alone when you're going through struggles. But the fact that you go through struggles, and then I always used to say to my girls, is that, so we lost my husband and their dad when they were 7 and 9. And people used to say, Joni, you know, you and Kayla and Britt will bounce back. And I used to say, that is the worst English phrase I have ever heard. Because you never... I want it eradicated, Jay Ross, out of every dictionary. You never bounce back. Like, what does that mean? You know, the picture of 4 is broken. Now you've got a picture of 3. You're never going to go back to 4 people in your family. You're only 3 now.
Sure.
So we've got to bounce forward. We've got to teach our children that, you know, they make good choices, and to be very reflective about how do they think, acknowledge their feelings, and how do they choose to act? Because the only difference between us and other mammals like dogs is dogs think, they've got feelings, and they act. but they are on automatic pilot. When a dog walks past a gate, it just goes to bark. As humans, we can decide, are we going to bark or are we going to keep quiet?
Wow, 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 wow. I mean, that's very true. I mean, that picture you painted there of saying bouncing back, I know, I mean, I lost my dad 5 years ago, and that's when I realized the pain of losing someone that's really close to you. And, you know, just how I used to say to people, no, man, it will be all right. You know, you'll get over it in time. And now that I'm experiencing it, it's a different thing. And, you know, the encouragement that I'll always give people is to, you know, to carry on mourning the person and carry on just crying it out if you have to cry it out. You don't have to be strong and keep it in. So, I mean, yeah, no. there's...
I just want to pause there, J. Ross, because you've just said something so important. Please, can we all stop saying, when people are grieving, you'll get over it?
Sure.
Because that's not helpful. What is helpful is to end grieving. You lost your dad 5 years ago. Grieving can take forever. It doesn't matter. So it's about naming your emotions. And that's another thing we can teach our children to be more resilient is, you know, how are you really feeling today? Are you cross? Are you angry with your teacher? Because those are not bad feelings. Anger or frustration is not a bad feeling. You're angry because you played soccer after school. Your teacher gave you an extra little project and it's got to hand in tomorrow. So now, and you want to watch something on TV tonight. So anger and frustration are not bad feelings, but we need to teach our children to name them. This is one of the sayings we often use. Name your emotions to tame them. So it's the same in grieving. It's the same in resilience in school is name those emotions to tame them.
Wow. Name them to tame them. You said something very important in the beginning, and I picked it up when you said, what's the difference between obviously preparing the road for the child and preparing the child for the road? I want to know more of that.
Cool bananas. So the big difference is that imaginary resilience toolbox you give them. So you're going to say, look, you know, you forgot your lunch at home. I'm so sorry about that. But you know what? I'm not going to now miss my meeting to bring your lunch. Like, share with your mates. What? So let's stop trying to remove the obstacles and the discomforts. Children are going to face hardships. There's going to be, unfortunately, bullying at school. There's terrible stuff, okay? It's like, how do you approach it? That person stole your piece of Lego out the sandpit. You know, now what are you going to do? You know, you're not going to steal theirs back. You're going to have a conversation. So preparing the child for the road is saying these things can happen and actually maybe discussing it with them so that they can be more prepared. Like, this is going to be difficult. You want to go and, you know, be in the cross-country team. That means tomorrow you've all got to get on a bus, drive to another school to do cross-country. So it's preparing their brain and their mind and their heart for what is not that easy.
Wow. So, wow. So, Joe, tell me, are there any specific activities like for families that they can engage in to build resilience together? You know, like a family, like, you know? Yeah.
I always think what's really lovely, and we've lost the art of this, is what is the game that you can play as a family? You know, whether it's, you know, puzzle, Monopoly, whatever games you like. But actually, there's something very cohesive about as a family playing a game. You know, when my kids were very, very small, we played imaginary games like the two cats against the two dogs. Like, who's going to win tonight? You know, so you can make up the game and you don't have to have a physical game. So that's one of the things. The second is when your child is in a state. And, you know, as adults, we get in a state, but we also, children get in a tantrum, is just to say, look, can you do some breathing? And this is applicable for adults too, is breathe in for four counts, hold your breath for seven counts, and breathe out for eight counts. And it starts to calm down the emotive centers in your brain. I sometimes say to younger children, I've got grandchildren who are eight and five, they're little boys, as I say, right, we're going to have a tough conversation now because you both want to do different things and Granny needs to make sure that both of you get time. Like, what are we going to do? One wants to play Lego, other one wants to play soccer. As I go, okay, let's wiggle our toes, all of us, because we're going to be, and it's a way of developing mindful practices. You know, let's be in the moment. So, you know, it's simple things, J. Ross, that we can take through life. And the naming their emotions. The other thing I think is important to have a growth mindset for all of us, adults and children, is to say when your child is struggling with something, like, Mom, I just can't do this maths. I'm not good at maths. I'm never going to be good at maths. You go, okay, darling, you're not good at maths, but it's not yet. You know, you could change. Not yet. You could have a brilliant maths teacher who's really encouraging. So it's using that phrases like not yet. And then the last little tip I want to give, because I think it's so jolly, jolly important, is at the end of the day, or you could do it taking them to school the next day, reflecting on the previous day, is what's something that happened that's positive today? Because we also need to teach our children is that, you know, what is something that's really good? And it could be, and I can tell you something that's positive that happened 10 minutes ago for me. And because my brain is hardwired to what's beautiful, as I was driving into my driveway, and I've lived in my same house for 26 years, J. Ross, first time ever I saw two lorries hanging off a low branch. Like, as I drove in, I'm like, I actually stopped my car and I thought I might be late for Impact 103 because I'm going to watch these two lorries. And it's the simple things, you know. I've never seen lorries in my driveway. So it's you know, it's good things that can come from any aspect and dimension of life.
Wow, wow, wow. That is so, so, so much beautiful advice that we just took in. I'm definitely going to be trying out the game thing with my daughters and, I mean, with the entire family. And, you know, because sometimes you never know, like as a dad, when the daughter comes in and she's like, Daddy, you know, this happened at school. And, you know, the initial reaction, the immediate reaction that I have, it's like, I want to call the principal. I want to do this instead of kind of like taking care of her emotionals, you know what I'm saying, that resilience that we are talking about here. So, I mean, what hope or encouragement would you give to parents that feel like they've missed the window to raise resilient kids?
We've never missed the window. So parents also need to be self-compassionate, J. Ross, is, you know, that the brain of a child and the brain of an adult continues to develop. So we used to think 20 years ago that you're born with a certain number of brain cells and then they die over life. No, we call it neuroplasticity, a bit like plasticine. So you've never missed the boat. So exactly, they shrink and whatever. So even my girls, I still reflect at, you know, being a mum of a 25-year-old and a 27-year-old. I think, gee, I could have done that differently. Maybe I should have pushed that one a little bit harder and not given in to her. So it's still you, once a parent, always a parent. So it doesn't matter how old they are. I mean, my mum, I'm 59. My mum is 79. She still parents me, which I find hilarious, but I do choose to listen. So you will always parent and the boat has never set sail. There's still time to go like, this is the family value system. You transgressed this. Could we think about it a different way? Maybe you could still develop those skills. Keep on parenting because it comes from a place of pure love.
Wow, wow, wow. Keep on parenting. I'm definitely still a mama's boy and I'm in my early 40s. So, yeah, excuse me for that one. But I love my mom too much. So, Jane, thank you so much. I mean, so much words of wisdom coming in them from Joni Paddy. It was such a lovely conversation to have with you there on resilience in children. And I'm looking forward to meeting you off air and knowing you.
Coach.
So I'm definitely going to be getting your contacts from Horsey or the station because I need some of that advice.
Please. I really welcome that. People want to find me.
Yeah.
And the easiest place actually is on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So J-O-N-I is the first name. And then Paddy is like the town of Paddy, J-O-S. So
yeah.
also we've got a town called Peddie, Peddie.
Yes.
So Joni Peddie on LinkedIn. And if anyone's got any personal questions, if they just send me a message, I will be sure to answer all of those as well.
Thank you so much, Joni. And it was a lovely time and interview speaking to you. Until next time.
Great. Have a good rest of your evening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.